So I want to be able to go through a set of scriptures here that teaches us to walk worthy, to walk worthy. Now, for a lot of us, you might would think, well, I don't feel worthy of anything, really. But that's not true. That's not true. I used to think that a long time ago. I used to think God had no interest in me. I used to think, well, what do I have to offer him? I used to wonder, I know it sounds strange now, but I used to wonder, was there even really a God? And as some things were alluded to this morning, I did grow up in a family where alcohol seemed to rule the day sometimes. And I can tell you, those of you that know all this, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. Now, even though I myself did not have to endure much of the pain, there were other people within my family who did. But in spite of that, in spite of all that, my grandfather took an interest in me, and I can only attribute it to God. But he took an interest in me. And I had two other brothers, one older, one younger. But he wanted to take me to church. It was only a half-mile walk down to the New Village Church on Staffordsville. And God bless him, he had a very soft-spoken voice. Sometimes you'd have to strain to hear him. But we would sit on the front seat. And I can remember when he would give a long, long testimony. And I would feel so embarrassed. Why? I don't know. I just seemed to felt to go long. And after he did that, just like some of the hill people in West Virginia would do, he would sing an a cappella song. A cappella. And the interesting thing about the songs he sings or sang always started out with something like sister, brother, mother, father. But it was the same song, same words, just different ones he would talk to. I don't know if you heard that song Alison Krauss sings. Let's go down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, oh Lord, show me the way. She would do sister, brother, mother, father. And it reminded me so much of my grandfather. But at some point, the Lord took a hold of my heart. And I attribute a lot of it to the fact that he exposed me to being in church. No, I didn't understand a lot of the goings on. I didn't understand a lot of the teaching or the preaching. But God opened my heart to his word. And I eventually had to come to the altar and I had to give my life to him because I felt there was no other way. No other way. I wanted to come because I knew my grandfather was on his way to heaven. I wanted to be able to meet him. And now my mother is in heaven, I believe. And I want to meet her again. Folks, if you want to meet your loved ones who you know or feel that are in heaven, there's only one way that you're going to meet them again. You have to consider this. And so what I want to talk about right now is to walk worthy. You are worthy enough to where Jesus sent his only son, to die a horrible death for something he didn't do. But he took on the sins of us as if he did them all himself, whether it be a thief, a murder, a rape, abuse, any of that. He took all of those sins as if he did them. And God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross so that Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because I believe at that moment when Jesus, and the Bible does say this, he became sin for us. That when he became sin for us, that God cannot look upon sin. He had to turn his back. That might be the one time in all of history that Jesus Christ and his Father may have been physically separated. Because he was always one with the Father. Now you might say that's not possible. I don't know, because Martin Luther, the guy who started the Great Reformation, he had that same question. How could this be possible? He fasted and he prayed over that the scripture as to how was it possible that God would forsake his only Son. And so here we are. We find ourselves now to talk about walking worthy. And so keeping that as an introduction, if I just simply tell you that Ephesians 3 and 19, and it's one of my favorite scriptures, in verse 20, Paul writes this. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in" who? Us. According to the power that works in us. That only comes through surrendering to Jesus Christ. So Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 4, here we go. "I therefore," why does he say therefore? Because of what he just said previously. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you," same as being begging you. "I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation," or you could say the calling, "wherewith you are called." You see, we each have a calling. You might not want to think that. A lot of people, in fact, want to think the opposite. They want to think, well, I'm just here, I'm just a congregant, and I'm a lay person, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy and listen to the preaching. And go and music too, and then go outside and live life. That's not your calling, folks. There is no such thing as a complacent and a Christian who does nothing. Amen. One, we're all given gifts, all of us. Once you become a person who follows Christ, you are given a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but you're given a gift, and you can choose to use it or you can choose not to use it. But part of that gift is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's like Bill said, when you walk out these doors, you know, you can live one way or you can live a different way. So in here, you may can fool me, and that's okay. I have nothing to do with the judgment. But go out there and try to fool Christ. Try to fool him. You can't. It's not possible. But Paul is telling us that we need to walk worthy of this calling that we have, this calling of becoming one of his. And when you become one of his, things change. Lives will change, not just yours, but those of your children. I think of adults now who finally give their heart to the Lord and they decide to serve him. I remember reading or hearing, I'm not sure which it was, a man was testifying to another man, and you know how people do. They always want to try to trap you in a question. They did the same thing to Jesus Christ. They always wanted to try to trap him into some kind of question or saying something either against Caesar or against the law or against their traditions and try to find a way to claim he was a false prophet. That was their goal. Jesus, they wanted to be a false prophet. And so they asked this man in modern times, one guy asked him, he said, "Now wait a minute, do you really believe that Jesus turned water into wine?" The man spoke up and he said, "I don't know about that." He said, "But I do know he turned wine into food, because that man was given over to liquor as well." And when he gave his heart to the Lord, all that money that went to satisfying his bad habit went to feeding his family. And he started to take care of his family, as a man should. I am calling upon every man in here to be the head of the household. Now, if you decide to let the wife be head of the household, I'm not criticizing women, but you are the spiritual leader of the household. It has been so ordained by God that you, the men, are to be the spiritual leader of your household. If you choose not to be the spiritual leader of your household, your wife may become the spiritual leader of the household. In fact, there are many places where that's the case, where the wife has to become the spiritual leader of the household. And why is it important that somebody be the spiritual leader? You got children. You got children that need to grow up knowing about God, knowing that He exists. And not only knowing that He exists, but knowing that He loves you. That He loves you to the point that He sent His only Son to die for you. These are the things you need to, we have a whole generation. You can look out your window right now or look on TV right now. You can see a whole generation of people who have no idea, no clue that Jesus Christ, not only does He not exist, that's what they think, but they can live in a life of anarchy in a way that is so an abomination to the Lord. They have no spiritual guidance. And I see it every time I look on the television and I read the news, and I tell myself every time I do it that I'm going to back off. I'm going to quit watching so much news or looking at so much articles, staying off Facebook. But it's like, I have to know what's going on in the world. I have to be able to discern the end of times. And I've got to be able to tell you that things are happening now that are getting ready to set up what we call the end of times. Folks, I never would have believed it possible. Yes, I was pretty negative that there would ever be peace in Israel. But look right now, count them, four countries have decided to normalize relations with Israel. I don't know if you know what that means. Enemies of Israel have decided to say, you know what? We're going to put aside our differences and we're going to normalize relations in such a way that we can actually build companies in your country and vice versa. You can build companies in our country. And we will hire people to work in these factories and whatever. And we will share the wealth. Trust me, God will bless Israel. And if these countries will bless Israel, they will too be blessed. But what happens if you curse Israel? You too will be cursed. And these four countries, it's happening in my lifetime. I never would have thought this. I don't know, pessimistic? Is that the right word? I never would have thought this would happen. But people are starting to normalize relations with Israel, four already. And I believe more are coming. More are coming. Folks, that is setting it up for the end times. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, it won't be much longer, will come. And He's going to be looking to see whether you are walking worthy of your calling. He's going to look at that. He's going to see if you are walking worthy of your calling. I said it in Sunday school this morning. I would hate to be one of those people, and I can't imagine what it must sound or look like, to stand in front of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we just play all kinds of music in your name? Didn't we preach every Sunday in your name? Didn't we pray for everybody in your name? You know, we did all these things in your name. And they would say, cast out demons and all these other works. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But Jesus is going to look at them and He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want you to be one of those. Oh God, I pray you would not be one of those. People who play religion, play being a Christ follower, being a Christian. I almost don't like to use the word Christian, and don't misunderstand, I don't mind the word Christian. But people all out in this country claim to be Christian, and yet they don't live a life worthy. What he's saying in here, they don't live a life worthy of what a Christian is. So I use the word Christ follower. You follow Christ. Whatever he did, you do. You do. You follow his commands. You follow Christ. You walk worthy of this calling because he called you. And you know what? Most of the time, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy of any of it. And guess what? That's true of all of us. That's true of all of us. The scriptures tell us in the Old Testament, it says, all of our righteousness is what? As filthy rags to him. That's all I could bring Christ. I couldn't bring him anything good. I had no good works that I could brag to Christ about. I had nothing to offer Jesus Christ except me. Deronda sings a song that says, all I have are the broken pieces. He took up the broken pieces that is in me, and he put me back together the way he wanted them to be. All I had was sin, despair, unbelief to bring to him. And you know what? He took that, and he traded it in, thank God, for salvation. He traded it in. He gave me something I did not deserve and would never deserve. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the sad part, maybe the sad and glad part, funny how things can be both at the same time. But the sad part is it's so easy. It's so easy. You don't have to be in church. You could be at home. In fact, a lot of people do this at home. You could be out driving in your car and come to the realization that, you know what? I don't know. I don't know Jesus Christ like I ought to. Or maybe I did know him at one time and I've drifted away. I've backslidden. I've gone away from him. And I've gotten away from walking this walk that's worthy of him. And you can stop and you can pray and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me and have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus Christ told the crowd, when a Pharisee went to brag about himself in the temple, and when a tax collector said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, Jesus Christ himself said it was the tax collector who went down to his house justified. Do you know what justified means? He was saved. Because he recognized his sin, and he recognized he had no way out of it, and he recognized that he couldn't do anything with it. He recognized he needed something else. I finally recognized that I needed Jesus Christ in my life because I cannot live this life without him. Do I still struggle with my human nature? Yes. I sometimes refer to myself as a struggling Christian. I struggle over things, same as you. I'm human, same as you. I have a sin nature within me, same as you. And that sin nature wars against the Spirit. The Spirit wants you to do one way, and the sin nature wants you to do another way. Paul referred to it as this. He said, the things that I want to do, he said, I don't do. I'm paraphrasing. But then he went on to say, the things that I don't want to do and the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. I know it sounds convoluted, but he's saying, I've got this warring going on in my body. And they war against each other. The Spirit wants you to behave one way. The flesh wants you to behave the other way. The flesh being the sin nature that's inside you. Whenever the Bible says the flesh, it's talking about the desires that you have inside of you, lust, the desire for envy, jealousy, any of those things. Hate, anger, all of those are things of the flesh. But what's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. If you want to know how do I know that the Lord has come inside me? the fruits of the Spirit, love, meekness, patience, all these things, folks. Things to which there is no law. All of that from verse 1. Verse 2 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. You want to know how to walk worthy? We don't have to ask. We don't have to ask. We can just look right here in verse 2. Paul says, with all lowliness and with all meekness. That means gentleness, folks. Be gentle. You know, I know sometimes it's hard to be gentle. Somebody say or do the wrong thing against you or your family, and you want to respond in kind. I know how hard that is. But it does say to walk with all lowliness. Lowliness means to stop exalting yourself. Don't magnify yourself. Don't make yourself out bigger than what you ought to be. You know, a lot of people just want to be able to just let their light shine, and it's from them. It's not coming from God. It's them. You know what I'm talking about? They want to brag about their accomplishments. They want to brag about, oh, how spiritual I am. And I put that in quotes, by the way. Well, to me, it just shows you how little spiritual you are if you are bragging on how spiritual you might be. I think it was Eddie who told the story, and I really love that story, so I'll tell it again. He said a lot of people got up in church. I think it was the one down here. I'm not sure. But he said a lot of people got up in church, and they bragged about on how good they were that week and how, you know, God has helped them through this, and went on and on and on until it got to this one old man. And one old man got up and he said, you know what? I'm as full of faults as a chestnut is full of the little briar stickers. And I think it was Sister Effie who said that was probably the most honest man in the whole church. Folks, I'm full of faults more than I can tell you. So you might be asking, well, why am I up here? Because God is able to overcome those faults. God is able to overcome and forgive me of those faults. First, I've got to ask for forgiveness. I've got to recognize I have the faults and ask for forgiveness. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Thank God. So we walk in with all lowliness, being humble. What was that song? Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Yeah, people sing that. I'm not perfect by no means. And with gentleness, meekness. Okay, folks, that's a hard one there. Gentleness and meekness. It's hard to be gentle when somebody's in your face saying awful things to you. And then he says, forbearing one another. That's an interesting one. Forbearing means putting up with people or bearing with. So if you know I have a particular fault, I know you have a particular fault, I don't let it get under my skin. I shouldn't. I shouldn't let it get under my skin. Well, so what? So what? Your fault. I'm not your judge. There is one judge. I'm not it. So whatever your fault might be, you know, God forgive me if I were to always point it out, because oftentimes, and Jesus told a parable to really point out the fact, he said, how can you tell your brother if he has a little speck in his eye, a mote, that's what he called it, when you yourself have a beam or a plank in your eye? Now, he didn't say you couldn't judge. He said, first, pull out the plank in your eye, and then you can see clearly to tell your brother about his speck. Folks, if we got a plank in our eye, we ain't going to be able to pull it out and be able to see other people's specks. We're going to be busy working on ourselves, asking God to help us. So forbearing one another. How do we forbear? How do you put up with people? How do you have that long suffering, that patience? And how do you have that lowliness and meekness? It says, forbearing one another, what? In love. You see, love, it all comes down to that. It all comes down to that. Jesus Christ loved you enough to die. The Father loved you enough to send His only Son. We're to love one another. Even John spoke up and he said, this is how you know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, because you have love one to another. Think about that. If it wasn't so important, it wouldn't be there. And finally, I want to end with this. I want to end with verse 3. Paul said, if you're walking worthy, and this is how you walk worthy, lowliness, gentleness, and with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity. To be unified or to be in unity is not necessarily meaning to agree on every point, but it means to not push people away. Maybe somebody doesn't dress the way you think they ought to dress, but that's not for you to push them out of the church and make a correction to them. That's not for you to do that. Maybe somebody doesn't speak the right words all the time. Maybe they're just in a habit of saying certain things. That's not for you to push them away from Jesus Christ and out of the church. Folks, I would love for every seat in here to be filled. I would love it. And I don't care, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I love all you guys more than you will ever know. But I believe most everyone in here, most of you, know Christ and are on your way to heaven. But I would love to preach to people who are drug addicts, who are alcoholics, and whatever other sinful life they could be living. I'd love them to hear the gospel. And I would love to see, wouldn't I love to see hearts being changed, lives being changed, and Christ coming into them, and a change that would occur so miraculous that you would wonder, you would be amazed at how in the world could such a person like that ever come to Christ. That's the kind of revival I want to see. It begins in our hearts. It begins in our hearts. And we have to do what Paul is saying here by keeping the unity of the Spirit. And by unity, that means all of us welcome whoever comes. Welcome each other and make each other feel welcome in this house. Forgive us, Lord, when we make people feel uncomfortable to be here. Forgive us, Lord, if we ever make somebody uncomfortable to be here, because they're given the opportunity to hear the gospel, maybe for the first time. And if you push them out, it might be for the last time, if they even stay long enough to hear it. We have to be unified in that we want them to come, and we don't want to shame them because of knowing what their lifestyle. Do you know they tried to do that to Jesus? When Jesus sat at supper with one of the Pharisees, Simon, there was a sinful woman that came in. And by the way, that's just a kind word of saying prostitution, most likely. A sinful woman comes in, couldn't say a word. All she could do was cry at Jesus' feet. She just loved on Jesus by crying on his feet. She knew how sinful her life was. And that's all she could offer him, was tears and mourning over her sin. She regretted all her lifestyle, and she had no way really to communicate it to him. And the only thing she could do was cry over his feet. And tradition would not have allowed her to do that. Even Simon said, if talking about Jesus, he said, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who's touching his feet right now, and he wouldn't allow it. That's the kind of man Simon was, a Pharisee. He was wanting to push her out. He was wanting to be those that would push her away from Jesus, have nothing to do with Jesus, don't touch his feet. He shouldn't be doing it. And Jesus, when she cried over his feet, wiped his feet, dried them with her hair. Eddie loves it when you sing that song. He says, because of your long hair, he says, you're probably the only one in this church who could probably rightfully sing that song. So I don't know if that encourages you or not, but he loves it when you sing that song. And she poured the expensive ointment on his feet. Her most precious thing, a year's worth of wages to buy this precious ointment. You guys got to understand, back in that culture, you can't just go buy Chanel No. 5 and anytime you want it. I don't know, what's the most expensive perfume there is right now? That's the only one I could think of. And the reason I could even remember that is we were taking up money for somebody's birthday at work for our executive secretary, and I was trying to give what little bit I had, and they said, well, they want to buy her some of this Chanel No. 5 or whatever it was, something that costs like $100 and $200 for a little tiny ounce. And I'm like, and I'm digging in my wallet, you know, and I got like dollar bills. I don't have tens and twenties like the rest of them were given. I finally had to come back later after I got paid. And seriously, I think we had to probably take it out of our grocery money just so I could give her money for a present that was so expensive. But this woman had ointment that was worth a year's wages, a whole year. And she broke it open. Once you break it open, it's over. Once you break it open, you got to use it. And she broke this flask and she poured it on Jesus' feet. In other words, all she could offer him was tears and her sinful life. She didn't speak a word. I asked somebody one time, I think it might have been in Sunday school, can you be saved without saying anything? Well, let me tell you what Jesus did. When she poured that out on him and she cried, and of course, him and Simon had a conversation. I won't go over all that. But at the very end, he looked at the woman. He said, daughter, he said, go your way. He said, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. She never said a word. She just poured out her love. He listened to her heart. Her heart was crying out to him. And maybe she didn't have the words to explain. Maybe she didn't have the words to explain how bad her life was. Folks, that might be you. That might be me. You don't have the words. But if you just come to Jesus and maybe all it takes is crying out to him with tears. He'll hear those tears. He'll see that pain in your heart for the way you're living. And the sin that's breaking maybe your family, tearing up your family. Jesus will see that and he will answer you. And he will forgive you of your sin and he will begin to repair the damage. But you've got to work with him. You've got to come to him first. He's not just going to come in and kazam and wipe everything out. You have to work with him. And so the thing is, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit. Folks, we all want to come together as the Spirit leads us and worship the Lord and to encourage people, not like us, to come in. To come in the bond of peace. Lord, may the bond of peace come across this country. Come within this congregation, that we could encourage people to come to the Lord and do nothing to hinder them to come to the Lord. Forgive us. The Bible says if you offend one of my little ones, it'd be better for a millstone. I don't know if anybody knows what a millstone is anymore. There used to be one up there in the courthouse, near the courthouse. I don't know if it's still there. But they would grind wheat. But they were huge, round stones, huge, heavy. Be better if you offend one of my little ones to have one of those tied around your neck and cast into the sea. In other words, you'd be better off dead if you offend one of his little ones. Be careful, folks. Be careful. When you offend one of Jesus' little ones, just because somebody might not be living a Christian life as you know it, doesn't mean they don't have some kind of remorse and heart for God. Encourage that. If you can find anybody who may be on the fence or struggling in some way, maybe, maybe God will send you as a divine intervention to help that person get past whatever it is that they're going through. Oh, there's a myriad of scenarios and situations that people are dying of suicide, folks. Because they've lost hope. They don't have a hope. Jesus offers hope. He offers it. And it's so easy to accept it. It's a free gift. You don't have to come to me for prayer. You could approach any one of us and say, help me understand, what does it mean to be a Christian, a Christ follower? What does it mean? What does it mean to be saved? I've had that question asked me a couple of times. People have never heard the term. To be saved from what? Because they don't know. They don't know what's coming. But we know there's coming. It is appointed unto men once to die. After that is a judgment. I want to be ready for that judgment. I want you to be ready for that judgment. Today is the day. You might want to put it off and say, no, I'm still too young. There's still too much I want to do. Yeah? We just heard about somebody who was, 30, 40, with a heart attack. Or stroke, I forgot which it was. Folks, you don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I have 10 minutes left. You don't either. But consider the alternative of not coming to Christ. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm going to invite you to come as soon as I give the closing prayer. Almighty God, these words that I have spoken, Lord, I pray they fall on people's hearts. That if they don't know you, Lord, that they will give their heart to you today, not tomorrow, not next week. Lord, let it be today before it's too late. There's going to be a time to when it's too late. And I pray, God, that you would move upon them, that you would help them, Lord, to make that decision for you, to cry out unto you, Lord, have mercy unto me, a sinner. Just like you told the tax collector, or told about him, that he went to his house justified. He was saved. He was right before God. That's what justified means. He was right before God. And so, Lord, you came and you died for us and you rose again just because you loved us that much, so that we could become right with God. Whereas we were on the outside, you have brought us to the point that we can now be on the inside. Yes, we will have trouble on this earth. We know that. You even told your disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in that, Lord, I put my hope and I put my trust. And I ask if anybody here needs to be saved, or if they need to be prayed for any reason, sickness, a problem in their life, anything that, Lord, as Dronda sang, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. So I give the invitation now, Lord, and I ask you to do the work that only you can do. For I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.